All right, so get this. Today we're going to deep dive into something that might make you think twice about writing off that next business lunch. We're talking taxes, obviously, but also food and a case, get this, that went all the way to the tax court.
Yeah. It's really kind of wild how something as normal as lunch, can turn into a legal battle when you bring taxes into the mix. Like, where's the line between like our personal lives and our work lives, right?
Totally. And that's what's so interesting about this case. We're looking at Muskie Commissioner from back in the 1980s, and like lawyers still talk about it today. So picture this. You've got this Chicago law firm, and they love this fancy restaurant, Cafe Angelo, and all the partners. They met there for lunch every single day.
Every day. Wow.
Every single day.
And they were trying to say, like, these weren't just, casual hangouts, right? They claimed, get this, that these daily lunches were like super important, like essential for talking about cases, for strategizing and just keeping up with their crazy workload. They even like tracked all their expenses, right? Like super carefully and put it all down as meetings and conferences on their tax returns.
Which honestly kind of sounds like pretty normal for a busy law firm, right? I mean, who hasn't had a work and lunch that like suddenly turns into, a legal strategy session? But here's where it gets interesting. The IRS, they weren't having it. They saw those daily lunches and basically said, nope, not a chance.
Yeah. I wonder what the IRS agents were thinking, when they saw that. Here's this like high-powered firm trying to deduct what seems like, I don't know, just part of their day. So why'd the IRS push back so hard? Well, it all comes down to this like fundamental idea in the tax code, right? Section 162, which, if you're a tax nerd like me, that deals with what they call ordinary and necessary business expenses.
Okay, so ordinary and necessary. Those words seem like simple enough, but I'm guessing there's got to be more to it than that, right? I mean, what does that actually mean when you're talking about like actually deducting stuff on your taxes?
Oh yeah, you're totally right. Those terms, they've got so many like little details and nuances that can trip you up. So the IRS, their argument was, yeah, okay, maybe they talked about work during these lunches, but the act of eating itself. Come on, that's something we all do no matter what our jobs are, right? Like it's like saying you want to write off your commute or like the cost of getting dressed in the morning.
Right. So the IRS was basically saying, look, you're going to eat lunch anyway, whether you're discussing a case or not. Don't even try to get a tax break for it.
Exactly. They basically like labeled it as what they call an inherently personal expense. Something you just do as a human, not in this case a lawyer, right? And this distinction is like super important, right? Because only expenses that are like directly tied to your business are actually deductible.
That makes sense. But I mean, the lawyers, they argued that these meetings were like crucial for their work. So couldn't they like get around that? I mean, couldn't they justify the deduction, based on like what they were talking about during those lunches?
Oh, they definitely tried that. They really did. But the court, they kind of focused on like how often these lunches were happening daily. Like, was it for all year? And that really made them suspicious. It seemed a lot more like, I don't know, like a routine, a habit, rather than like something they had to do every day for a specific business reason,
So doing it every day, that's what tripped him up. And is that where like the comparison to the firefighters comes in? I vaguely remember reading something about like a case where firefighters were actually allowed to deduct the cost of meals they ate at the firehouse.
You got it. That's exactly right. The court, they compared this Moss case to those earlier cases about the firefighters who like literally had to eat together at the firehouse like it was part of their job, right? And sometimes their employer even like provided the food.
Okay, yeah, so there's definitely a difference there. I mean, one is like a mandatory work meal. You have to do it. And the other is just like a bunch of partners choosing to have lunch every day, even if they are talking about work stuff.
Exactly. The court in Moss, they drew a line right there between meals your employer makes you have and these like optional gatherings, So basically what they said was because these partners were choosing to have lunch together every day, it was more of a personal choice than something they like had to do for their business.
So, if I'm getting this right, it's not just what you're talking about during a meal, but like how often it happens and whether your job like actually requires you to have that meal. That's a pretty big difference, right?
You're totally getting it. The court was super clear. Just because you happen to talk business over a meal, that doesn't automatically mean you can write it off. There's got to be more to it than that.
Wow, this is like seriously fascinating stuff. This case, like, it could actually change how people think about these business meals and deductions, you know?
Oh, absolutely. It really has had a huge impact. And to make it even more like complicated, there was also, get this, a concurring opinion in the case that kind of added a whole other layer to this whole thing.
Oh, right. I remember that. Judge Sterritt. He had some pretty interesting things to say about this whole thing. It wasn't like a super straightforward ruling, right?
Definitely not. It wasn't just a black and white kind of thing. He didn't actually disagree with like the overall decision. But what he did was like he kind of clarified that this case didn't mean you could never deduct any meals with partners or coworkers.
So there's still some hope for those of us who, you know, enjoy a good team lunch or taking a client out to dinner. Tell me more about like what Judge Sterritt said. I think that's where it gets, you know, actually relevant for the people listening.
For sure. So what he emphasized was that you really got to look at like the whole picture, right? How often are these meals happening? Are they actually necessary? And like all the specific little details about, you know, what's going on with that meal. Like he even used the example of like a quarterly strategic plan and dinner with the partners. That might be seen differently than, you know, just grabbing lunch together every day because it's easy.
Okay, that makes sense. Like a quarterly dinner, that's less routine, right? It feels more like an event, a specific thing, you know, with a real business purpose.
Exactly. It's all about being able to show that the meal was actually like super important for the business and wasn't just a regular, like everyday kind of thing.
Gotcha. So we've got this main ruling from the Moss case, but then we've also got Judge Sterritt coming in with this concurring opinion, which is like adding all this nuance and context. So what does all this mean to the people listening, like out there in the real world? What are the like practical things they can take away from this and use in their own situations?
Well, I bet you're starting to see that this whole Moss v. Commissioner thing, it's not just some, you know, random legal case from forever ago. It really set a precedent, like a rule that changes how we got to think about deducting those business meals.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a, you know, warning for anyone who's ever thought, oh, perfect, I can write this off. So for our listeners who are out there thinking, wait, hold on, does this even apply to me? What are the big, like, key takeaways from this case?
Okay, so the first thing, the biggest thing, is that this case, it basically says you have to prove it. You, the person paying taxes, you have to show that, like, that meal was really tied to your business and wasn't just, like, a social thing or something you would have done anyway, you know, even without work.
So it's not enough to just say, oh, yeah, we talked about work. You got to prove that you needed that meal to do business.
Exactly. Like, imagine you're trying to convince, I don't know, like a skeptical friend, and you're trying to tell them why that lunch meeting was so important for work. What would you say? That's the kind of thing you got to be ready to say to the IRS.
So, like those Friday lunches with everyone from work, even if you end up talking about a case or two, that probably wouldn't count, huh?
Probably not. Especially if it's, you know, every week, the IRS, they're going to be looking at how often you're doing this, right? Are these meals just routine or are they really like happening for a specific reason, a business reason, you know?
Makes sense. So how often you do it, that's one thing that could get you in trouble. What else should people be careful about?
Necessity, which is a little trickier, right? It's not always clear, but you got to ask yourself, would I have been able to do my job to get this result without this meal, or would it have been way harder? If you can honestly say, yes, I needed this meal, then you're on the right track.
It's like thinking, could we have just emailed about this or done a quick call? If the answer is yes, then maybe that lunch, you know, wasn't so necessary after all.
Totally. And that's where keeping good records like receipts and notes, that's your best friend. Even if you have a good reason for the meal, you got to prove it. Who was there? What were you talking about business-wise? How much did it cost? You got to have all that info, because if you ever get audited, you're going to be glad you have it. Trust me.
It's like the Boy Scouts motto for taxes, be prepared. You never know when those little notes and receipts are going to save you.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Now, I know a lot of our listeners are lawyers, right? And this whole Moss case, it was about a law firm. So let's make this advice, you know, really specific for them. Because for lawyers, it can be really hard to tell the difference between personal meals and business meals. Client dinners, networking events, those late night strategy sessions with like takeout containers everywhere. It can all get kind of mixed up, right?
Oh, for sure. Sometimes it feels like, you know, the legal profession runs on coffee and takeout. So how do you figure out, you know, which meals with clients are okay with the IRS?
Okay, so go back to what we were talking about, necessity and documentation. Ask yourself, did I need to have this meal to like reach a specific goal for my business? Was it, you know, directly about a client's case or maybe a new business opportunity?
So like grabbing drinks with a friend who also happens to be a lawyer? Even if you end up talking about work, that probably doesn't count as a business development expense, right?
Nope, not really. It's got to be clearly connected to what you do for work. You got to be able to show how it helps your business.
This is making me think back to that thing you mentioned earlier about Judge Sterritt's opinion, the concurring one. He seemed to be saying that some partner meals could be deductible. So what was his thinking there?
Okay, so what he was saying is that it's not really about who you're eating with. It's more about how often it's happening and how necessary it is. Think about it this way. Having a big strategic planning dinner with the partners, like once every 3 months, where you're figuring out the firm's goals for the year, that's way different from just grabbing lunch together every day because it's easy.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's all about the context. You could even have a client dinner that you can't deduct, you know, if you're not actually discussing a specific deal or a case.
You got it. Like, imagine you take a client out to dinner just to, you know, be friendly and build that relationship, which is good, of course. But if you're not talking about like a specific deal or case, the IRS might look at that and say, hey, that was just a social dinner.
Whoa. Okay, this is making me rethink how I do client meals. Seems like, especially for lawyers, you really got to be careful about keeping track of expenses and being able to prove why every deduction is legit.
That's a good takeaway for anyone listening, no matter what your job is. But yeah, lawyers really need to be extra careful about this just because of the kind of work they do.
So just to sum it all up for our listeners, you got to show that the meal was necessary, not just like convenient or routine. You got to keep really good records and you got to be able to connect that meal to a specific reason you needed it for your business.
Yeah, that's a great summary. And I'd add one more thing too. Context is super important. Think about how often it's happening, where you are, and just, you know, what's going on around that meal. All those things matter.
This has been like really eye-opening, at this whole deep dive into business expenses and what the IRS thinks is ordinary and necessary. I feel like we've all learned so much from this Moss case and the other examples you've brought up.
Totally. It's wild how much we can learn from stuff like this, you know, like having lunch with people from work or like a musician's pet parrot.
Just shows you tax law is everywhere, even in the most random places. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. I bet our listeners are going to look at their lunch receipts a little differently now.
It was great being here. And hey, listeners, stay curious, keep learning, and maybe, you know, think twice before you try to deduct that fancy latte as a business expense.
Haha, good one. All right, until next time. It's kind of funny, you know, how a case about lawyers and lunch can turn into this whole discussion about what the IRS thinks you can deduct. Are there any other, like, cases that come to mind where someone tried to write off something that seems, I don't know, a little too personal?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, the courts have seen it all. One that I always think of is there was this musician, and he tried to deduct the cost of his pet parrot.
A parrot. Okay, now that's a story I gotta hear. What was he thinking?
He was saying that the parrot, you know, being there in his home studio was, like, essential to his creative process. He said the parrot's singing and sounds, it inspired his music.
I can just picture it, you know? This musician jamming out, parrot on his shoulder, adding in a little bird song. But I'm guessing the IRS, they weren't buying it, right?
No, not really. They weren't too convinced. The court agreed with the IRS. They basically said, yeah, the parrot might have made the musician happy, but it wasn't, like, actually needed to make the music.
So even if you can say, hey, this thing helps me be creative, that doesn't automatically mean it's a business expense, huh? You got to show how it's tied to your business, how it's actually a part of the work.
Exactly. And it can't just be something you like, something that makes you happy. The IRS, they want to see expenses that you need to do your work, not just things you want to have around.
I get it. Like, I might want a fancy espresso machine in my office, but I mean, can I really say I need it to do my job? Probably not.
Exactly. That's a perfect example. It all comes down to, you know, where's the line? What's really needed for your work and what's just something you personally like?
So the big takeaway here, I think, is to be aware of that line, you know, and really think about your expenses. Just because something is related to your work, you know, in some way, doesn't mean the IRS is going to let you deduct it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's always best to be careful and keep those records like we were talking about before. If you're ever not sure about something, you know, talk to a tax professional, get their advice.
Great advice. Well, this has been a really interesting deep dive. business expenses, what the IRS considers ordinary and necessary, all that stuff. I feel like we've learned a lot from the Moss case, but also from all the other examples you've given.
Yeah, me too. It's kind of cool how much we can learn from everyday things, you know, like lunch with your coworkers or a musician's pet parrot.
It just shows you tax law is everywhere, even in the most random places. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. I bet our listeners will never look at their lunch receipts the same way again.
It was great being here. And listeners, you know, stay curious, keep learning, and hey, maybe think twice before you try to write off that next latte.
Yeah, good one. All right, that's all for today. Thanks for listening, everyone.